Combinator. Wait, what?
Shaggy, and welcome to Al Pacino's Prison Scene, the podcast where three college students who know nothing about anything look at movies who say objectively nothing about anything. And what do we do, boys?
We think about it. We think about it.
Fake mustache.
And drink alcohol.
No.
Well, technically, actually, yes. Because he's got the
it's a kombucha.
He's got the kombucha.
Chris is cool. He drinks kombucha.
Yeah.
He's from California, but not really.
How about you introduce
He's actually from Backwater, Mississippi.
How about you introduce us, Jake?
I'm not going to introduce you.
All right. I'm
Jake.
I'm Chris.
Wait, what?
Who are you, Kyle?
I'm Batman.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, you already said my name.
I'm also Nighthawk. My nickname.
I'm also
known as the guy who people actually tune in to watch.
Oh. Psych. Guess what? Actually, they changed the frequency to take out your voice.
I'm also the only one at this table who's not a virgin.
His wife is right behind me.
Hey, you know what though?
That's what she said.
Listen to all you little guys out there. You youngins.
All you little guys.
All you youngins out there.
Only the little guys.
Here's a tip for you. Bitches be crazy, bro.
Claire, can you confirm?
Are you calling my wife a bitch?
That is not what he said.
Yeah, but how would she be able to confirm?
Because she knows bitches. Yeah. I don't understand. Or bitches be tripping, which is true. 100% true.
I should call Autumn and ask her that question and then immediately hang up.
Speaking of bitches tripping, today we have our film Total Recall, where in fact
that's a good segue,
bitches do trip,
and it's a bitch of a movie to follow because it's kind of trippy,
and he trips off of a cliff in his dream and in the finale.
I'm getting to that,
which makes him look like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Oh god.
All right,
okay, so
today's movie,
excuse you, now I don't think I've ever sat down and watched this movie before.
But you have. Like.
Well, besides for this podcast.
He did last night.
Which I did. Yeah, I did last night. And I don't have Netflix. So I tried to pirate it. But
why
the
did you
site,
just ask me for Netflix?
Well, because I didn't know if you were asleep or not.
What time was it?
Like 12:30.
Why didn't you ask me earlier?
Because I was busy. Besides, he came over. I was doing stuff. He came over like 10 didn't leave till like 1.
We're getting very off track.
That's because of Avery.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you, Avery.
Avery's his roommate.
But anyway.
His apartment number.
Well, also, his name is in the podcast, like literally every episode.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who made our
does the
theme song.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, and then. And then, hold on, I'm getting there.
Okay, Chris.
And then I couldn't pirate it because for some reason my site wasn't working.
Oh no, you couldn't watch your movie illegally.
So I felt so bad. So then I saw that it was on Pluto, and so I had to
You had to go to space.
Yeah. Well, I downloaded the app. The app doesn't let you search, so I had to do it from my computer, which I don't like doing. And then I pull it up on my computer, and it turns out it's in Spanish. So that didn't work. And so then I was like, you know what? Number one, yeah, if you had to rent it, it was $7.99 everywhere except Amazon Prime. So like, okay, I'll just rent it on Amazon Prime. Well, then none of my cards worked on Amazon Prime. So I had to go back to my laptop and do it there. And then finally at like 12:45, I was able to start the movie.
Wow.
And my bedtime's 1.
Yeah.
So
you watched it at like 2.5 speed or something?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my story. So now we can do the recap.
Did we say what the movie was?
Yeah.
Okay. Total Recall. 1990, not 2012.
Is that when it came out? I don't know.
Yeah.
All I remember is just when I watched this movie and the triple titty lady came out that I was like, God, I want to see the new one.
Are there triple titty ladies in the new one?
I would assume so. I would hope so.
And they're real, not... And
they would be better.
Yeah.
Like, they would look, you know, more realistic.
Anyway, that's part of the recap.
All right. So, in the year 2084, Douglas Quaid, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, wakes up from a dream, maybe a dream about dying in Mars with a pretty brunette lady. And he wakes up next to a pretty blonde lady, and it's his wife. Her name is Lori, and he tells her about this dream, and she's kind of dismissive about the dream because she doesn't like Mars because it's run by a corrupt governor named
Copenhagen.
I just now realize
Andrew Cuomo.
It's Copenhagen.
Yeah,
it's close to Copenhagen, but it's Cohagen. Is the name Cohagen. Of the corrupt governor.
Cohog, the city that Family Guy's in. Yeah.
Anyway, she's dismissive of that because life on Mars isn't really very great, and he wants to go because he keeps having this dream, and she also doesn't like that he's dreaming of other ladies.
In the car.
And so he's like, oh, okay. And so he goes to work. He works as a construction man, and on his way, he sees an advertisement for this company called Recall. And Recall is a company that implants false memories in your brain to simulate whatever kind of vacation that you want without actually going there. And so he's at his construction job, and he talks to his coworker named Harry. He's like, hey, I heard about Recall. And Harry dissuades him to go, saying that a man once went there and then got lobotomized. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, Quaid is still intrigued. He goes to Recall anyway. And he starts talking to the guy about his... memories of Mars, and he's like, yeah, I can take it there. And he's like, well, I don't want to get lobotomized. And so he sells him with this pitch of this little package that they have to where they'll plant a fantasy scenario in your brain where you are a secret agent. And it's filled with a bunch of, like, action-packed sci-fi movie bullshit where you got, like... the female sidekick of your choice, and there's people killing you left and right, and you're just a hero left and right, and you're a hero. And he's like, all right, I'll do that. And so they start the procedure, they put him to sleep, and they create his sidekick, which is the image of the girl from the dream. It's athletic brunette, and and so they put him under, and then right before they implant the simulation, the procedure goes haywire. Can you please stop? The procedure goes haywire because he starts to freak out and have a seizure, and so they basically just cut it off. And the reason they get for this is that he starts having memories, actual memories of being to Mars. And so they cut off the procedure, they wipe his memory of ever coming to Recall, they refund his money, send him on a cab home. And on his way home, he is Harry, the coworker from earlier who tried to dissuade him, pulls him aside, tries to kidnap him, and pulls a gun on him, about to kill him, and says, you blabbed about Mars, we gotta kill you. And so Quaid is forced to kill them to get out of that. He rushes home. He's like, Lori, my wife, people are trying to kill me. She's like, oh, that sucks. And then Lori tries to kill him. And then,
bitches be bitches, you know? Bitches be tripping. Bitches be tripping.
And so, Lori attacks him and they fight. And they come to a standstill, and then Lori tells him that she was sent by Governor Cohagen's agency on Mars to monitor him, and that their marriage is fake. And so he knocks her out and escapes, and as he's being pursued by Cohagen's people, being led by an Agent Smith-looking motherfucker named Richter, who is actually married to Lori. He's being pursued by that guy trying to kill him. He escapes, and then Quaid is contacted by this mysterious man who claims that he was a buddy of his back on Mars. So he was on Mars, presumably, at one point. And this man gives him a suitcase with gadgets to help him pass by Richter and his men. And he escapes and everything. And then he goes to this place that man told him to go. And he sees a video recording of Quaid himself talking to him. And this version of Quaid is telling him that I am not you. You are me. My name.
No, I am you.
Yeah.
He is me.
$10.
So this version of Quaid talking to him, he says that his real name is Hauser and that he is just using his body.
He's being housed in it, one would say.
Yeah, being housed in Hauser. And so Hauser explains that he used to work for Cohagen, but he switched sides with the rebels on Mars after he found out that Cohagen was using an alien artifact. And so he went under memory wipe and then, like, disguised himself as Quaid for his own protection. And so he tells him to, like, remove the tracking device so Cohagen can't find him and then go to Mars. And so he does that and he goes to Mars. Once he gets to Mars, he finds a note that Hauser left for him telling him to go to this place called Venusville, which is like a red light district on Mars. And there he meets this guy named Benny, who, immediately, like, hijacks a taxi driver so that he can, like, show him around and take him wherever he needs to be, which is kind of sus. And so anyway, they make it to Venusville. And there he meets Melina, which is the brunette girl from both his dreams and the girl that showed up in the image of when they were, like, making a sidekick for her. And he tries to explain that he's not who she thinks that he is, that he doesn't work for Cohagen. He's not Hauser. He's Quaid. And so all that happens, and I can't remember how we get to this, but, like, Quaid later encounters the dude who founded Recall. His name is Dr. Edgemeyer, and he like, shows up in, like, this apartment with him, with Lori, and then tells Quaid that he is not on Mars. He is still in Recall. He is still in the simulation. And that he is going to be lobotomized if he does not choose to wake up. He's the only one who can bring himself out of it. This is kind of a Matrix reference, but it's not, because Matrix comes out.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, wait a second.
Like, it's 10 years later. So, well, I think Matrix kind of maybe took this. Yeah. But he literally,
we're looking at you.
The doctor hands Quaid Sisters. A red pill to wake up from the simulation. And so he, like, as soon as Quaid starts to doubt it, the doctor gets really defensive and he starts sweating and he's like, no, you're real. This isn't a simulation. So he shoots him, and it turns out he was right to suspect him, because then Richter's men bust in and try to kill him. But then Melina busts in and then kills those guys. And then Lori comes in and then tries to kill Melina. But then Quaid is like, no, Melina's bad. Sorry, Lori's bad. Melina's good. He shoots Lori. And so they're like, okay, what do we do now? Well, since Richter and Cohagen's men are on our ass, we got to escape. So they escape with Vinny back to Venusville. And they escape through this secret tunnel. Huh?
Vinny or Benny?
Benny. Okay. Benny. Yeah, they escape back to Venusville. And they escape in this secret underground tunnel that leads them to the rebels' base.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, and Cohagen's men
$10.
Cannot you find them scum. Anywhere. So to basically, like, scope them out or weed them out, they turn off the ventilation of Venusville, because, I mean, it's Mars. They have artificial oxygen there, so they turn off the ventilation.
It's Mars.
And everybody starts to suffocate. Duh. And so this is where my notes kind of ended. But
in the midpoint of the movie?
Yeah. Well, we're getting close to the end.
We're getting to the Wikipedia page now. This is...
Yeah. Anyway, they meet this guy named Quaido, who is the leader of the rebels, and he is a mutant. There are mutants on Mars because of like the radiation or whatever. He's mutated to the point where he has a conjoined twin that lives in his belly. His name is George.
Same.
What? What? I thought you were going to say something, Jake.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I may need a little bit of help after this part. But okay.
Are you Milton?
Yeah.
Yeah. So George,
Jorge,
like does this like psychic connection with Quaid to show him the alien artifact that Cohagen is trying to get, and
he does this.
Yeah. He reaches out his hands, they lock hands, and then he sees that. What exactly does he see? I forget.
He just sees like I think like where it's at.
Yeah, where it's at. So he knows where to find it. But Richter's people know where to find it because Benny was working for Cohagen all along. And and so they kill the leader of the rebels. And so now the rebels are very defenseless. Benny tries to kill Quaid and Melina, but then Quaid takes like Benny tries to kill them in this like a drill tank. And they corner him into a tunnel, but then like Quaid gets this like drill and then drills it into the pilot, and then he says, "Screw you!" And
he drills a drill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he kills Benny. Just
a drill.
On Capitol Hill.
On Capitol Drill.
And so he kills Benny, and they outwit and kill Richter. Drill. And so they leave. And then Quaid reaches the reactor control room where Cohagen is waiting with a bomb. I'm reading straight from the Wikipedia right now. Cohagen claims that, okay, he says that if you start this reactor, it'll kill everybody. It'll kill everybody, so don't do it. But then Melina arrives and shoots Cohagen. But Cohagen starts the bomb and the timer. And then Quaid throws the bomb down a tunnel, leading to an explosive decompression. Quaid pushes Cohagen aside, blowing him out onto the Martian surface, where he suffocates and dies. Quaid manages to activate the reactor before he and Melina are also blown out. And so at this point, we're watching the scene from the beginning where he's dreaming of him and Melina suffocating on Mars. That was the reoccurring dream that he had. And well, so...
Huh?
Wasn't reoccurring.
Well,
he said he's had it. Before.
Yeah,
oh, he did.
Yeah,
he said he's had it. Even Lori did.
Yeah, never mind.
Even Lori had it.
Yeah, no, Lori no. Oh. said.
Lori's like, isn't that dream that you've had all these times?
Okay.
Yeah, and so they're suffocating and it's the same.
And they're
scene.
Going like,
but then they look up at the sky and they see that the artifact is actually somewhat kind of it's terraforming a portion of Mars to the point where like. Mars has oxygen and rain now. And so everybody suffocating in Venusville is able to breathe again, like clean water, clean oxygen. And they're like, oh, we've saved Mars. That's what Melina says to Quaid. But then Quaid looks at her and says, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that this is still a dream. And then she says, well, kiss me before you wake up. And they kiss. And that's how the movie ends.
And it fades to white.
It fades
it
to white.
It doesn't fade to black. It fades to white. Also, and I maybe have just missed it. Did you talk at all about when they got trapped and almost got put into the mind meld machine?
Oh yeah.
I think you skipped that.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, like it, like in I don't know if this is true or not, but like the bad guy, Dr. Copenhagen, he was like, oh yeah, this whole time you
Hauser
were a double agent. Yeah, you were a double agent, and you're. Before we wiped your memories and put you on Earth, you know, for shits and giggles or whatever, so that you could infiltrate everything that you used to be my best friend. And then he's like, no!
Well, and then he pulls up a recording of Hauser himself standing next to Copenhagen.
And being like, aha, you dumbass, you did it.
So.
And he's like, give me my body back, you know, that kind of thing. And then they put him in the mind meld machine, like both him and the girl. And he gets out. I can't remember exactly how.
He just, by brute strength, rips off the latch and then stabs the doctor and then breaks out.
And so they get out, and then that's when they get to the artifact.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought that was an important bit.
So, yeah, end of recap.
And then, like, when they die, they, like...
Yeah, it's some crazy prosthetics.
And, like, they, like...
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the practical effects in this movie is great. Like, I love 90s sci-fi.
Oh, me too. And I'm like super nostalgic for it just because like that was like the stuff that I grew up watching, you know. Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of Judge Dredd, which is a movie I need to rewatch. Yeah. I really need to rewatch.
I am the law. Which they like get like super bloated right here and then they're like get bloated here and their eyes like come out.
Let's take a break.
And we'll be back after these messages.
After these messages. From Anchor.
Ah! And we're back.
Hold on.
And we're back. Can we sync and then but keep the first part in?
Yeah.
And also keep the sync in?
Yeah.
All right. So, first, number one. Do you think it was real or not?
I don't know. Okay.
That's the point.
Okay, I'm actually going to say no.
I think it's supposed to be both.
What do you mean?
I think it's supposed to be real and a dream. Because...
In what sense,
well,
though?
Like, in the sense that, like, the director's gone on, like, whatever you want to call it. Like, he said that... he put enough hints for it to be both considered a dream and real, you know, and if you just kind of like pick the stuff that's meant for it to be real and exclude the other, then it works out. And if you pick the stuff that's meant to be a dream and exclude the other, it also works out. It's supposed to have an equal interpretation. And so in that aspect, I think it's supposed to be both.
Okay.
And I think, and this is what we'll maybe touch upon and the stuff that I wanted to talk about, but I think at the end of the day that's the best answer is
that it's both.
Yeah.
I will say though that I think it was a dream.
I do too.
And so
it's a dream.
I might want to dive into like what is real.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm glad you brought that up.
Because Jorge says he says a man is defined by his actions, not his memories.
That's
so, also Batman says that. It's not who you are underneath. It's what you do that defines you.
Yes.
Also, Rachel said that.
Yes,
first.
But Jorge says it in this movie.
Thanks
but,
again, Keeley's husband.
But what's interesting about this is that like what we are seeing is action. But let's say it were a dream, it would just be a memory. Does that make sense? So it's kind of, again, it goes back. It's kind of both.
Well, define action.
Well, I mean, he is doing things.
He's making conscious choice. Is
right.
that not action?
It is.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He is making a conscious choice, but also potentially it is technically a memory because that's what the recall program is. It's implanting memory.
Yeah.
So if we're to say he's still in recall, then it would be a memory, but what we see is action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, no, and again, that goes to the double interpretation of it, where I think it just has to be both, because it wasn't meant to give a definitive answer. That's the only answer that can be given.
Is both,
yeah. Because like, at no point is the film trying to give you both sides, but then really nudge you into one side.
Right.
It's really balanced in that way, which is kind of interesting. Because a lot of times when there are movies with like, let's say like double interpretations, you know, it could be this way or the other. Like, you know, the filmmakers are really leaning on one side. They're giving you both options, but they're like, this is the real one though. This
right.
is the real interpretation.
Which so
this one doesn't, and I like that.
The question I would pose is like, how does the meaning change? I like to pose at the top.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can hit back on this at the end is how does the meaning change if it were a dream, if it were real, or if it matters.
Yeah, well, that's
because what I will say is I think because of that quote, I don't think it necessarily does
mm-hmm.
because he's existing in both.
Yeah. Well, so in here's the question. It's like, well, what define what matters? Like, what do you mean by what matters? Because
you view as what matters.
Well, yes, but what would you say in the context of how you're interpreting this film? You're giving a clear answer on whether it matters or not.
Yeah.
So what is that dividing line for you?
Well, I feel like what matters is the actions that he took, mm-hmm. because regardless if it was a dream or not, it felt real to him. There was at no point where it was like,
yeah.
If you let this person die, it doesn't matter because they're not actually dead. Or if you don't do this, then it doesn't matter because you won't actually die. Those stakes were there regardless if it was real or not, and he made the decisions that he made.
Well, yeah. And that's why I'm saying that, like, it exists with an action but also potentially a dream.
Okay.
But but what I'm saying is, like, I forgot.
So I wrote down there are two philosophical concepts, realism and empiricism. And realism, and this comes from Plato originally. I mean, it's, you know, it has, like, different variations as all things do, but realism is essentially that if there are universals that exist beyond the mind and language, and so my extrapolation from that is if there are universals, then there is objective fact. And if there is objective fact, then either Total Recall is a dream or is true, right? Meaning that it has to be one or the other, right? So that's the concept of realism, right? So there has to be objective fact, right? And so if it's a dream under the notion of realism, then it doesn't matter because it didn't happen. Therefore, it doesn't matter. Now, you can argue about, like, maybe if the character himself goes through an inner change,
yeah,
then if he comes out of it with that same change, it wouldn't matter. But then there's also the possibility he would be lobotomized as soon as he wakes up. So there's that, you know. But anyways, basically, under the notion of realism, if it's a dream, it doesn't matter. But if it's real, then it does. Then there's the idea of empiricism. And empiricism is...
Hey, 10 bucks if you know who coined that.
What, empiricism?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was a hint.
The pig thing?
Yeah. Kyle knows.
All knowledge. I actually don't, because the pig thing threw me off.
The guy who wrote...
Francis Bacon, dude.
Oh.
That's Bacon.
Yeah, no, for some reason I thought of the author of Charlotte's Web for some reason.
What?
I was thinking Animal Farm.
Oh, George Orwell. Yeah. I don't know, man, my mind was just like, as soon as you said that, that's okay. Funny, but anyways, empiricism is the idea that all knowledge comes from sensory experience, and in this concept it specifically is saying that you're born with nothing, like nothing in your brain, and everything is shaped through sensory experience. And when you're a baby, you literally have no building blocks in your head for anything. And I don't think this is true, like on just a personal level, because,
well,
it can't be true, because you have, at the very least, you have things that categorize already built into your brain. And you go from there and you build on with sensory experience, obviously. I mean, nobody can argue against that. Like, you know, but there are some things that are just innately built in, you know, like a fight or flight thing, whatever. You know, if as a baby, if you had the ability to move with, you know, any accuracy, then if a wolf came out of nowhere, you would fight, you would have a fight or flight reflex, yeah, just built in. Anyway,
chemically.
But. Yeah. It's like an evolutionary thing, right? So, but anyways, in the reason I wanted to talk about empiricism on here is that if it's experienced, then it's true. That's what empiricism is drawing towards. And so those are why I think those two concepts matter, because if we're looking at it through an empirical lens.
Well, that can mean something else.
Yeah. Right? If we're looking at it through the empiricism lens, the lens of empiricism, then it wouldn't matter if it's a dream or not. Not imperialism. But in that lens, it wouldn't matter if it was a dream or not, because he experienced this, therefore it's true.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at is, though, even if it was a dream, he did, again, he did shoot that guy, several guys, right through the head. And so Quaid was changed regardless of whether or not he truly was physically in the space.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think he was changed. Like, the only... He had, before he went into the recall station, he had these notions that he should be doing something on Mars, that he really wanted to go there, that he felt a desire, and he felt disdain at what was happening on Mars, like all the corruption that was there already before he went in. So I don't think he went through any change other than the fact that he had an external change of being able to maybe fight people better and be like that super secret agent. But I think he's the same person throughout the entire movie, beyond that facade of the secret agent bit. I don't think he went through any, like, what I would call a character arc. I don't think he went through that.
Like, he already thought Cohagen was a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
well, maybe, but I think that there's a difference.
Probably not to the same extent when he, like, saw what was happening. When he saw all of the mutated people and how they were living.
Yeah, but to that I would say, like, you can think whatever you want to think, but until you put that in action, I don't know if that change occurs. So, like, you can, like, think all day long, man, I really, you know, want to eat some McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But until you eat McDonald's, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think the action...
But does that discredit your belief?
Well, not necessarily. But when you act upon it, you are developing because you're getting over that hurdle of, like...
Yeah.
That
I agree that thought is different from action. But I don't think that constitutes a... character change.
And so maybe we're getting into, like, definition.
Right. Well, so, like, it's a semantic thing, sure, but I think it's important because, and I'm trying to
We've think, had this conversation before, by the way.
I'm starting to kind of rethink the whole idea that it doesn't matter if it's a dream or not. Because if it isn't a dream, then he is a hero who did the right thing because, and okay, so the reason I think that...
this is one of those ones where you're like, okay.
The reason I think SpongeBob. That it does matter whether it was a dream or not is because, regardless of the other things, the whole reason he went to recall in the first place is because of the image of the brunette. And so everything he does for Mars, it's probably for the greater good of the other people too, but... as also for the greater good of Melina, or at least the idea of her. So, if all that really happened, then that means that he is a hero who saved a whole bunch of people. But if it's just a dream, then that means that he's just a dude who is not happy with how his life already is and his image of himself, and he'd rather be with someone else but his wife.
Well, I don't even know if it's not about being with somebody but his wife. I think, like Kyle said, I think it's about... He says, I feel like I was meant to do more than this.
Yeah.
So I think it's about being worth something, having some sort of responsibility that exists beyond just being Ben Affleck.
And I'm not discrediting on all the other stuff, but I don't know. I just know that, like... Melina was the driving force of him going to recall in the first place.
Was she?
That's what I'm trying to get at. It was a big part of it. I know you said that he wanted to be, like, more, but...
Well, see, I would disagree. I think... And I think the reason that he went is like Jake pointed out, that one line about, you know, he feels like he's needed for something greater. He feels as if his calling on Earth is not being fulfilled in his life.
Yeah.
And that's why he seeks this virtual way of experiencing his calling. And you could say that if, like, in a video game, you'd be like, man, I feel like I'm not really doing anything right now. I'm going to play this game and live through this character who's got all these abilities and he's fucking awesome. You know, and you're like, and now I've lived through them. And I know it's not necessarily a one-to-one connection because there is a limitation on video games. But let's say if you were able to go into, like, a VR game, but it looked really fucking, like, real and everything, I think you would have people, and there are tons of dystopian books and movies about this, about people who just want to experience things virtually because they're not doing anything in their own life. Mm-hmm. And there's a safety in doing it virtually as well. Now, obviously, he knows about the risk of, like, lobotomization and everything.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Again, I think he is going there to experience something that he can't experience at home. And it's not because... I think the woman is an intrigue factor that definitely pushes
She's
him.
She's the symbolism of the life that he doesn't have.
Yes. But I think the point of going there is, again, to find something beyond himself that he can safely be a part of.
Spider-Man 2, baby. Responsibility.
Lobotomability.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Lobotom so, bitch.
No, I'm sorry. I lobotom bitch. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I mean, again, I would go with the more realism definition there, just because I think at the end of the day, I think that's... more apt.
You're saying that if it didn't happen sensory wise, then it did, it's not true. Is that?
I'm saying if it's a dream, that it doesn't matter. I'm saying that thing now, and this is where it gets complicated. If he had gone through an internal change over the course of the movie, then regardless of if it was a dream or not, it would be important because coming out of that dream, he would be a changed person, right?
Yeah.
And this happens all the time in movies, you know, like people like go on like it's kind of like Soul, you know, like in that movie, he goes through like a character change and almost none of it
matters, you know, in the end, because he still chooses. When the final decision comes, when the climax decision comes, he still chooses to go back to be.
Well, I'm just making a comparison of the fact that, like, most of it's just happening essentially in his head.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's the same thing as Inside Out, where most of it is happening inside your head. And so you could say, oh, well, that doesn't mean anything, but it creates an actual character change.
Right.
And so I would say that it's meaningful because something is different than when you went in, right? And for a better... Well, you could even argue if it's a bad change that it's still meaningful. But anyways, so the problem is because he doesn't have a character arc over this, at least defined as an internal change in worldview or, something similar to that. Because there is no internal change, then I don't think it matters if it's a dream.
See, so Marcus Aurelius and I... And I've talked to you about this before.
Yeah.
In Meditations, he has...
It's Meditation Homes.
What?
No, wait.
What?
I was making a Tenacious D reference.
Meditations D?
That's Levitation Homes. Never mind.
What?
It's a quote from Wonder Boy. Anyway, continue.
I don't remember what the exact quote is, but basically the meditation, in summary, says that if you don't do something because you're scared of doing it, mm-hmm. or you're hesitant or whatever, the more that you don't do it, the more difficult it becomes to do it.
Yeah.
So I would say that, like, making the action, making the choice to do what you're scared of or hesitant about is a change.
But it's not that he was... hesitant of doing it beforehand. It was that he was constantly commenting on it, and then he found a way to do it.
Yeah,
he just didn't know about it beforehand.
Wanted.
Okay, that's true.
So that's why I'm saying
the only
like,
thing that happened is that like his situations changed to the point where it enabled him.
It wasn't like it's not like he's been seeing this recall ad and he's like, you know, it's like literally he sees it that morning. And then later like, ask a guy about it. And then the guy says, you could wind up lobotomized. And he still goes and does it.
Yeah, yeah. So the stake is there, but it's like that important.
Yeah, because he continues to go through it. They're like, at no point, and I'm not saying that he's a bad character in this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that at all. Because he's a very active character, which I enjoy a lot. But it's just, he doesn't go through an arc. And I don't think that's necessary with the story that the movie's trying to tell. But I'm just saying... If it's a dream, it doesn't matter. according to the concept of realism.
Okay, so let's say it were real. Mm-hmm. It as far as existing within the world, what's the meaning there?
What do you mean?
Let's assume this was real, mm-hmm. and all the actions that he did mattered.
Yeah.
The trials and tribulations he went through mattered. What's this about?
Okay, well, it's kind of similar to the Horus story. It's the individual that is able to revive the dead, corrupt state. I mean, that's essentially what happened. I mean, because there's obviously like a lot of, and there's a capitalist, like anti-capitalist message that's in there as well, and we can talk about that as well, because I do have something to say
about
that.
But he,
I don't know how anti-capitalist,
was able to
not,
do
not
that by purchasing by purchasing something.
Sorry, I didn't catch the
beginning.
If it's anti-capitalism, then it's kind of ironic because he was able to do this by like buying into a company.
Well, yeah, but
The guy says.
I'd say it's anti-monopoly at the very least.
He says, he says, isn't that little extra worth a measly 300 credits? Which I don't know how, like, the inflation rate exchange rate
in 2084
credits is, which it would seem like it'd be,
well,
like, 300 is,
also,
like, nothing.
This whole thing would have to, like, be way after 2084. Like,
well,
I don't know, man. Elon Musk wants to get to Mars by the end of the
century. Yeah, but Saturn cruises? Well, I don't know. In 97, we sent a probe to Saturn, and then it made it in 2019. So
that's true. And that was just flying on its own. It didn't even have any like propulsion.
Who knows?
So
maybe we can.
So I definitely agree that there's the anti
is still our lifetime.
Monopoly, anti massive corporation, whatever. But then what was the other thing that you said
about the capitalists?
Yeah, no, before that, the other one. There's two. The capitalism and then the other one.
Oh, rejuvenating the dead state.
Yeah. Which I think he literally does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, bringing air back and everything, yeah.
You know what's fucking crazy?
What?
Okay, you guys probably aren't going to get this, and if I'm not mistaken, it is 2084, but there is a video game called Remember Me that is, the premise is a lot like this, that, like, It takes place in 2084, which is the same year of this, where like a woman was a bounty hunter, but she lost all memory of who she was. And it's like a society where you have basically the equivalent of a smartphone and a chip in your brain, but you can share and exchange and sell and buy memories. And so she remembers herself as someone else, and she has to make other people.
Is that a video game?
Yeah, she has to make other people who remember her as an enemy remember her as someone else. Like, there are many games where you have to go in and kill people who are not actually dead in someone else's brain.
Huh.
It's, I don't know, I thought it was a really cool, like,
I've never heard of that.
It takes place in the same year as this movie is supposed to take place.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's 2084.
Who's sneaking around back there?
It's a very obscure game. It's one of the best games I've ever played in my life, as far as story goes.
He says that about every game he plays.
No, I don't play mini games, and I don't.
You just
that.
Said that there was a mini game in that
what,
game.
What? Fine.
I don't.
A multitude.
What about Miss Pac? What was it? The game that you really liked? Was it Miss Pac-Man?
No. It was Pac-Man 2: The New Adventures.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're not talking about that. All right.
Yeah.
We're talking about capitalism.
Sorry.
Yes.
So I would definitely agree that it's not anti-capitalism, but I would agree, like you said, it's anti-corporation, anti-monopoly.
Yeah.
Remember me.
Yeah, I think corporation, that's a better one. But I wanted to talk about that because it's like anti-corporation in the dumbest way possible, because the guy essentially has like a full monopoly on air control, right?
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be like a one-to-one ratio on any thing that people need, you know, like whether it's housing or whatever, the thing that I think is interesting is that you can't charge people for air.
Well, that's like the lore.
Well, that's what I was thinking too.
But the Yeah, well, again, yeah, and the question is, well, why can't you charge people for air?
Well, seriously, I mean,
why? Well,
you, why I not? Mean, it's a completely different government on Mars.
That's true, and I want to explain why not, because it's a public good. And there's a difference between private goods and public goods. Public goods are not exclusive.
Here's the thing.
We're talking about the laws of
Earth.
Of like Western like age, like the equivalent of like a Western age of Mars.
Yeah, like an old Western.
Yeah.
I understand that. However, the point that I'm making is that like you don't pay for water.
Well,
no, you pay for your water to get to your house in a convenient manner.
Okay, yeah.
Water is free. That's why when you go to restaurants, your water is free. Well, it's one of the reasons why. Also, people don't get a lot of water. But it's because you can't
charge. You go to restaurants to get free water?
You can't.
That's what you said.
Well, yeah. I meant like when you're going there to eat, you get water, and then they don't charge you for the water.
You go to restaurants for free water.
You go to restaurants for water. I mean, everybody does. No, but
well, how else would you get it?
You can go down to
a slurp it out the air.
Pay for water bottles, you're paying for the packaging and it going to the store. You're not paying for the actual water. That's why water bottles in general are kind of cheap, especially compared to soda. Because soda, you're having to pay for all the syrups and everything.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm making is that it's a public good. It's like roads. Roads you don't have to pay for. Obviously, that's paid with taxes, but it's not a direct payment unless it's a toll road, a private road. That's different. But public roads they're usable by everyone and pretty much have to be used by everyone. That's what defines a public good. It's non-rivalrous. All right, meaning like you can't have like two different types of water that you're charging for. It's like no, you're paying two different companies for their bottling and any other chemicals that they may be putting in it, right? So you can't be charging, and I know air is very limited on Mars, but even then, you can't be charging for air because that's something that... The hell are you doing? He took a picture of a video game character's ass, and it's like 360p, too. It's not even like a good, like...
His wife is looking at him.
My wife is not very happy.
Did you know that I was going to make that noise?
Yeah.
Here's how I would counter that. Is that there are machines that have to do the air on Mars.
No, I understand that. But I'm still saying because it's still a non-rivalrous product.
Right.
Because it's something that everybody has to have access to.
Well, and then I would say, like, that's why it is a corrupt corporation, essentially, is because they have manipulated so much so that now they can charge for air.
Yeah.
Well, and they have so much control.
Well, that's the point that I'm getting at, is that's why it's a stupid comparison, because, I mean, that is so far beyond corrupt. Like, that's despotism. Like,
yeah, but it's also Mars, which is so far beyond my physical reach.
That's true.
I can't breathe on Mars right now. Look.
Yeah.
I'm just breathing Earth.
The point that I was making is that if you're making a comparison of that to bash corporations, that's not an apt comparison.
Well, this is also 1990 before you were born, so you don't know what corporations were like in the 90s.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I didn't directly experience it.
And then what was the other one you said? Oh.
Rejuvenating the state.
Yeah, so I think it's also about that too, for sure. Because when he's still Dennis Quaid before recall, he says, or he's watching the news, and Lori's like, that's why you're always having the nightmares. And the news is on, and it's like a bunch of like people shooting each other.
Yeah.
Like the police are shooting a bunch of people, and he's like, no cameras, get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. He like does that also.
Okay, so
he literally goes
real quick,
get that camera out of here.
This is my
get that camera out of here.
My reasoning.
Get that camera out of here.
My reasoning.
Get that camera out of here.
I'm gonna kill you. Like, I'm actually gonna strangle you.
Hey, Jake.
Okay, Cohagen.
Every joke that you make is
unfunny.
Get that camera out of here.
It's funny until the third time you make it.
Yeah, it was funny the first 7 times that we heard it,
and then it's not funny the next 20. But then that 21st time.
It's hilarious. But you gotta get through it. And then
21.
It's like the rule is like 12 when it comes to comedy, yeah.
So
Eddie.
If you do that, I'm walking off.
Okay.
My pitch for why it's possible that it is a dream, is it he could be experiencing like deja vu in a way when he like has that dream about the girl. So the simulation, all it does is just like puts him into a dream that he has already had.
Well,
if that makes sense.
But they explain that that's not what it is.
Well, no, I mean,
he's out of frame, like lean back.
Sorry,
it's
hard to explain exactly how
I understand what you're saying.
It's like,
except
saying,
for the
okay,
fact,
you know how you have like deja vu.
It's a premonition.
What do you mean by that?
A premonition.
What was a premonition?
It's like you see something before it happens.
Yeah, it's like that, but
which
like,
happens to me, by the way.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm Douglas Quaid.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot where I would dream
Quaid
of, like, something happening in real life, and then, like, a month or two later, it happens. Exactly the way
so
I
a premonition.
Dreamed it.
Yeah.
And
is that when you're awake or asleep?
It happens to me when I'm
asleep. When I'm asleep.
So I've always assumed that the reason that is when people have that, it just means that their brains are really good at looking at their past and just predicting an outcome that could happen in the future, and it's just like your brain going a premonition.
The procedure just stretches that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's an idea.
Anyway,
sorry.
Possibly back to for God and country.
No,
$10.
No country for old men.
No country for old Quaids.
Ah!
What was that? Like a dinosaur.
Schwarzenegger.
Anyway, there's also another thing that happens with Benny is they're running out of Venusville, vaudeville or whatever. Oh, I wonder if that's
what?
You know vaudeville? You don't know what vaudeville is?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know
what
vaudeville is, Claire?
But you own the Manville?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I felt something on my... Oh, wait, no, never mind. My buckle. I thought it was a booger.
Vaudeville is a type of, like, theater. It's like comedy without, like...
Comedy.
More moral or psychological intention. So it's like just stupid, like, goof-off, like, sexy time comedy stuff.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, so we do.
And so Venusville is representative of that. So maybe it means vaudeville. Anyway, when they're running
out... You look very lost.
When they're running out, when they're, you know, doing Ezra Miller or whatever, you know, Ezra Miller, they're running out and there's an explosion. Benny and the Jets, he just goes, "That's Mars for you."
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is this insanity, this like.
Also, I love how the entirety of the movie, he acted like a cartoon character until the scene where he like said, "I'm working for Cohagen."
No cameras, get the fuck out.
He acted like a normal, serious villain, and I'm like, oh, I want to see this side of Benny. And then he went back to being a cartoon character.
Anyway, there's an explosion, and Benny's like, "That's just Mars for you." And the reason why I think that has to do with rejuvenation of the state is that. No, you should have gone. Fake mustache.
Haven't shaved your mustache. It's starting to grow. I can feel the stubble.
I have a booger in my left
nostril. Let me get it
for you. Why
are
you trying to pick it on camera?
Because it keeps bothering me.
You can't do that anymore. Like, people can see you.
Just lie back until they can't see you. They can still see you. There you go.
It's like that camera you took, or that photo you took of me on the guidelines set.
Anyway, and that's an exemplar of why a rejuvenation needs to occur, because the darkness or corruption or whatever you want to call it.
Darkness.
That.
No parents.
That is.
Super rich.
Occurring.
Makes it kind of better.
On Mars is representative of that.
Yeah.
And well, the people are so, like, accustomed to that.
Yeah. And that's why. And that's why it's always. Funny to me when people are like, and this may seem like I'm going off tangent here, but it's funny to me when people are like, man, if we could just get the other side of the political aisle out of this country, then we'd be better off for it. It's like,
for
no.
Who?
Well, yeah, for one, for who, but also no, because the thing is that at least traditionally, the way that two-party systems operate is that the conservative side is the one that builds systems and hierarchies. And the left is the one that creates the chaos necessary to make sure those hierarchies do not become stagnant and therefore corrupt. Because hierarchies is, you have to create them because you need them.
Right.
Because you need, there is, you do have to give up some of your freedom for some bit of safety. The question is obviously how much for how much. But beyond that, you do have to give up parts of your own autonomy for something collective. You do have to do that. And so you have to create hierarchies, right? And those hierarchies, if you didn't have a left side of the political aisle, then they would become corrupt because it's the left that fights against those. And
right.
They break them down and then the right will build them back up. And that's just the constant cycle of
things. Checks and balances, right? Like it's
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes,
but you need like you're saying, you need both sides to ensure progress rather than, like you said, in
stagnation. Yeah.
But that looks like
balance,
breaking down and building up. I mean, that's it's a natural thing. It literally happens in our bodies. When you build muscle, you have to break it to make it better.
Yeah,
what
Claire,
doesn't
can
kill
you?
You have to break it to make it better.
Claire, can you break your arm on camera to demonstrate?
Do I need to call domestic cops?
If she breaks her arm, then she can't give you a hand job. That was said right into the microphone for everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You whispered it away from my wife, but everybody else can hear.
Nothing.
She listens to this podcast.
Oh, it's okay.
She doesn't? I'm not surprised.
No, she does.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Claire.
Yep.
You're not gonna like what goes.
Anyway,
I thought she's still. All right.
Anyway, back to like consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas Quaid finds another one of these saviors. Really, all the resistance in the strip club, which I think is interesting, because like that's like a center of consumerism. Culture. Cyberpunk 2077 dives into that, but basically everything's just like pleasure.
Oh yeah,
is Cyberpunk based off a book?
No.
What's it based off of?
I will tell you later.
Okay.
It's based
off a hentai.
So I think that's interesting, also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I guess if you were a, yeah. Okay, I got what you're saying. Sorry,
yeah.
My brain was a little slow. Yeah.
All right. Well, do y'all have anything else?
I'm good. I think that's it.
No, I mean, I talked about what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. It was a good episode, but like, this is a weird movie to analyze because it can really just go.
It's very subjective.
Anyway, it's also very like open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the base of literally.
Well,
the actual
like what happened.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
you just spit everywhere.
No, this is me spitting everywhere. Like,
no,
what
no. No, I saw like 20 droplets.
Oh
just,
yeah,
like,
it's because of my big ass like gap in my front teeth. It just the spit goes right through there.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't write a rap for this, so freestyle. Let's go.
We're not there yet, Chris.
Oh, okay.
You always do this.
He's getting psyched up for it.
Psyched up, like how your brain's gonna be after we lobotomize you. Oh, I got you from this side so they can see.
Trying to think of what
lobotomize
Quaid with
something.
It's up here.
Look at Douglas Quaid.
Quaid,
yeah,
more like
to go to
I'm gonna make you a maid.
Excuse me, whose job is the wrap up?
Sorry.
Well, really, the wrap up is my job.
No, the wrap up.
But you're not wrapping up. You're wrapping into the microphone, which is kind of down.
Stupid. Now it looks like you're looking at a penis. When you
did also, that. We have not, like, at all acknowledged the Mario cap.
I wasn't going to, yeah, and now you just ruined it.
Now we have to redo the whole episode. So,
howdy, roundabout shaking boys, and welcome to Al Pacino's prison scene.
Wait a minute.
The podcast.
Wait a minute.
Three college students.
Wait a minute.
Who know nothing about anything. Can I
put some liquor in it?
We just did this. No, I totally recall that we just did.
Three out of five. Some people exploded. Do the rap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, heads literally exploded. I'll give it a 3.
I would say 4 out of 5.
I don't know if I would give it that much.
I would say 4 out of 5. I would give it a 3. I'm very generous.
Well, but he says 3, and you say 4, so average is 3.5.
I don't know why he said it like that.
I don't know either, but it just like caught me.
But it is interesting that it's called Total Recall.
But it's spelled wrong.
What's spelled wrong?
Recall.
It's spelled like the
movie title is spelled right, but the company is Recall with a K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to be futuristic and cool.
Yeah.
So,
and K is for cool.
K is for constipated, like Chris was. And you know what?
When was I constipated?
You remember.
No, I don't.
Well, if you remembered it.
Right, I don't totally recall that.
We'll put the chip in you, bub, and you'll remember. Anyway.
Your roommate is trying to steal my thunder right now.
Yeah, he's setting up a beat for you.
You have to rap to this.
Oh, we never mentioned that either. In case you hear some music.
It sounds like Jesus.
Avery. Oh, wait, did we? I don't remember. I need the implant.
Yeah.
Anyway. These Twitter. Implants. Pacino Pod. Twitter.
Can we take that?
At PacinoPod.
No.
Twitter.com. Like if you think that, let us know if you think it's real or not, or if it matters. And if you want to talk about memories and whether or not sensory experience or not is real or not.
That wasn't. It's not that sensory experience isn't real. No.
I'm saying if unsensory experience is real or not.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Then that's not what I said, but that's what I meant. And okay. You knew what I meant.
No, we didn't.
Hey, shut the fuck up. We're trying to do a fucking podcast here. God damn.
Then PacinoPodcast@gmail.com.
I know.
So cringy.
And that's what it is.
I said?
Well, anytime I have to tell people that I record podcast, I feel like I want to shoot myself.
I do your right. Why?
Because I'm like, oh god.
That's how you get the bitches, bro.
Because I'm like an e-girl now.
Yeah. And e-girls are kind of cute.
That's not the point.
Oh, it's Avery.
Avery, do you want to make a cameo?
Yeah.
What am I doing? This is Avery, the man behind the theme song.
Yeah, a little bit lower.
Dip down in.
I am the theme song man.
He's the theme song man. That's what we call him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that was it. Chris is gonna
your car.
That's not my car.
Transformers.
This set is like way too noisy for a podcast.
Well, it's right. Is that what we're doing? I do not totally recall this movie,
but all I know is all Arnold Schwarzenegger says
that's just gonna be like all hotness blown out. It's gonna be completely unlike.
That was the easiest round.
Sound sauerkraut.
Sound sauerkraut.